So I'm Insae Witherspoon with the Children's Environmental Health Network. I'm the executive director of this national nonprofit and very excited to have this esteemed panel that I'll be presenting to you in just a moment. There she is. Okay. So I'll be just giving a little bit of an introduction to the field of children's health and what the Children's Environmental Health Network has been up to in the last two decades. We're actually celebrating 20 years anniversary this year, which is pretty exciting. We are then going to have Dr. Ruth Etzel talk about the globalization of children's environmental health and that movement. Dr. Ruthel is professor of epidemiology at the Zilber School of Public Health at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. From 2009 to 2012, she led the children's environmental health activities at the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. She is the founding editor of the AAP book Pediatric Environmental Health, and a third edition was just released last year. And she has received numerous awards for her work to protect children from environmental health hazards, including the 2007 Children's Environmental Health Champion Award from the EPA. We'll then have Dr. Richard Jackson talking about affecting meaningful change and what various contributions, you know, beyond even the Children's Environmental Health Network have made to this movement in this field of children's environmental health. He is the chair and professor of environmental health sciences at the UCLA School of Public Health, where he works to teach and mentor our next generation, which is vitally important. He has done extensive work in the impact of environmental health, particularly related to children. Over the past decade, he has been working a great deal on how the built environment, including how architecture and urban planning, impact our human health. He's also developing policy analysis in areas such as how farm, education, housing, and transportation policies affect our health. And we're very excited to announce that he's a 2007 Heinz Award recipient. Peggy Shepherd is a well-respected leader in the field of environmental justice. She's the executive director and co-founder of We Act for Environmental Justice, the first environmental justice organization in New York City created to improve health, environmental health and quality of the lives of those of communities of color. She will present on the evolution, research, and policy processes and outcomes of a community-based participatory research partnership that has had multi-level impacts on health policy. She was a recipient of a variety of awards and distinctions for her lifetime work and is also the 10th annual Heinz Award recipient for the environment and also the 2008 Jane Jacobs Medal for Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. And finally, Dr. Lynn Goldman is a pediatrician and an epidemiologist with a focus on children's environmental health and chemical and pesticide policy. She's the dean of my former alma mater, GW School of Public Health in Washington, D.C., and is also a professor of environmental and occupational health. Her current research is on environmental exposures in early life and birth outcomes. Her presentation will provide recommendations on opportunities for moving forward policies that can and provide the needed protections for the health and safety of our children. She is past board member and chair of the Children's Environmental Health Network and a Heinz recipient as well. So as you can see, we have quite a panel, and we definitely look forward to some good discussion. If we can, we'd like to keep questions for after everyone presents, so it'll be after Dr. Goldman, and we'll bring all the presenters up here, and we should have some good dialogue. So thank you for that. And again, for those of you coming in, there is a sign-up sheet just to capture some of your information. I don't have any disclosures to, and I don't think any of the presenters have any disclosures to announce here. So children's environmental health, when we think of this is certainly all of our surroundings. So where kids spend the majority of their time, what they're intaking, what they're exposed to, and how all of that influences their health and well-being. And that's just the forefront of our work. And I'm not sure this is on its own timer here, so I'm not sure why it's just advancing. But so the children's environmental health movement, it's been over two decades, 20 years of work, which is pretty phenomenal to think back on this. It was October 1989 when the Kids in the Environment Project, the precursor to the Children's Environmental Health Network was developed, and a small grant was given to train healthcare professionals on children's environmental health and those exposures. Then it was 1992 when the Children's Environmental Health Network went national as a national organization. This was really the first time that there was this paradigm shift that children and the vulnerabilities of children were taken into account for the first time. Our basic mission has been vital from the very beginning, to promote safe and healthy environments for all children, regardless of their ethnicities, where they are geographically, where their economic level is. Our goals have always been fundamentally the same, to support peer-reviewed sound science in the field, which we know continues, you know, to grow. We still have a lot of work to do, but we've come a long way in the last two decades as far as the peer-reviewed research. to increase awareness and education among a wide variety of stakeholders with that research, and then to build on those new cadres of advocates to then promote the sound child protective policies at the state and national level, which we require. We have been advocating for the development of a sound pediatric research agenda, which is really the first time that this was ever thought of and created over 20 years ago. The emerging research that has developed since then has been fundamental to the work that we're doing. The impacts of early exposures to lead, pesticides, PCBs, mercury, environmental estrogens, and the indoor and outdoor pollutants, which we know help to exacerbate our asthma epidemic. And certainly the creation of the pediatric research centers of excellence have been fundamental to that emerging groundbreaking research. Today, we are the voice of children's environmental health in the nation's capital. We started, our roots were here in Berkeley. We moved in 2000, our headquarters to Washington, D.C., and now we are the one that is uniquely informed by a strong basis on pediatric environmental health science, which we're very proud of that reputation. Again, I hope, I don't want to assume everyone is at the same playing ground here, but there is fundamental research to show that children are vulnerable to a variety of environmental hazards, and I'm happy to share with you some literature afterwards if you're not clear on that, but I can definitely make that case for you. And again, some of that emerging research that's been coming out of these fundamental centers. Ricky Pereira Center in Columbia has shown us that prenatal exposures to a wide variety of exposures to PAHs, pesticides, and secondhand smoke have definitely been linked to reduced fetal growth developmental outcomes in young children. That same center has also showed us that exposure to specific pesticides has been linked to a specific reduction in the equivalent of weight reduction seen in babies born to women who smoke. Bisphenol A research out of UC Berkeley has shown us many similarities to estrogen and how it can lead to reduced thyroid hormone function. Just last week, Asa Bradman at UC Berkeley had a phenomenal study that came out looking at 40 childcare centers that showed high levels of formaldehyde, a known carcinogen and respiratory irritant that we are seeing along with other hazardous compounds in our childcare settings. Pretty phenomenal what's coming out of these centers. There has been a shift. There was a lot of focus on infectious diseases and, you know, those of polio and tuberculosis. We're now working on, unfortunately, these chronic diseases of obesity and overweight epidemics and the ever-plaguing asthma, childhood asthma issues. But these modern problems cannot be addressed exclusively with the medical and or public health community. It's an entire comprehensive community approach, and we need to be thinking about that in every aspect. We know that a children's environment plays a huge role in many of these chronic conditions, as well as premature births, lead poisoning, and some of these childhood cancers and birth defects. In spite of these accomplishments, our children are still exposed, as you know, to many hazards. Over the last 50 years, more than 80,000 synthetic chemicals have been introduced to our environment, and we really don't have a good understanding of what those chemicals are having on our health, one way or the other. The asthma prevalence continues to increase. It has increased substantially over the last three decades. We know that 1 in 10 school-age children have asthma, and it's the number one chronic illness and the number one reason for school absenteeism in the country. Almost 500,000 children in the U.S. have high blood levels still over the reference values. But we still have opportunities. I mean, there still are lots. We've done a lot of work, but we still have a lot of ground, of course, to cover. Decision makers must assure that our policies and our procedures prevent exposures of concern to children's health and development. Our housing, for example, and childcare, where kids are spending a lot of time indoors, has a direct impact on their health and well-being, and the design and construction and their maintenance. Our neighborhoods that provide access to healthy food, public transportation, safe and complete streets, and other community services have shown to improve physical activity and other aspects of health, as well as the well-being of the entire network of the family and community. We need to have our educators working with our early learning providers, our school officials, and our childcare professionals to connect with our public health entities to make sure that those learning environments are free of environmental hazards. These are just a few of some of these examples. There have also been major accomplishments for the field. The passage of the Food Quality Protection Act, protecting kids for the first time from allowable pesticides on our fruits and vegetables. But this was in the 90s. We'd think that we'd have a lot more to say on the federal level since then. The creation of an executive order on pediatric environmental health, the Federal Interagency Task Force on Children's Environmental Health and Safety, the creation of the Office of Children's Environmental Health at the EPA, all these were non-existent 20 years ago. We have these research initiatives now, the National Children's Study, the first longitudinal study looking at kids, you know, prenatally all the way through to their 21st year of life and those cognitive and environmental exposures, the Children's Environmental Health Research Centers of Excellence. We also have improved information, such as the EPA's America's Children in the Environment report and the CDC's national reports on human exposure and environmental chemicals. So how have we been doing some of this? I could spend another 20, 30 minutes on just what we've been doing, but just some highlights. Today, the network is still continuing our work in supporting peer-reviewed research. We just had a conference on epigenetics and pediatric environmental health, the first of its kind connecting those two attributes here in San Francisco at the end of May. It was well attended, 170 participants. We definitely do see our role in that in the future, thinking about what are the cross-cutting science issues and bringing together some of the policy and advocate communities in the same room. We work on a variety of advisory committees advising CDC, EPA, the Institute of Medicine, NIH, and are working on a variety of academic partnerships. We advise and work on the UC Berkeley childhood cancer work that they're doing and leukemia work, as well as Tracy Woodruff's work in breast cancer at UC San Francisco. When our education and training programs, we are running the only national program in the country, our Eco-Healthy Childcare Program, and I have lots of materials in the back on this and on our website. It's the only program working to promote training and education awareness and building among childcare providers in the country. 60% of our kids in this country under the age of 5 are in some form of organized childcare, and those are the licensed centers. There's a whole bunch of unlicensed, but we're talking licensed centers. This is a huge opportunity for cognitive development, and unfortunately our kids are being exposed to a lot of unknown things and some known things in those centers. We also have an endorsement side of this, where childcare centers can go and get endorsed in our program for 2 years, and their policies and procedures are being encouraged to perform low to no cost recommendations, best practices that they can really realistically take on. Then there's a 2-year renewal as part of that process. We also have a health and all policies process, surprisingly funded by the CDC, trying to incorporate and make sure that in the beginning of our policymaking process, not in the aftermath like we're traditionally always doing, the health and well-being and vulnerabilities of children, those questions are being asked at the forefront, making sure those people are at the table at the very beginning of city and county and state policy development process. And on the child protective policy side, we had a congressional hearing this summer. It was the biggest well-attended public health hearing on the Hill in a while. A lot of our allies and friends were saying congressional testimony we make on a regular basis, and a variety of collaborations we're working on with state child care licensing to incorporate environmental health standards for the first time, quite frankly, in a lot of these cases. I'll just leave you with this as we move into our panel. Exposures and environments during childhood affect across the lifespan, and children's environments are certainly shaped by decisions across sectors. You can find us on CEHN.org and certainly contact me afterwards. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And these are just three of my little ones on the East Coast who are safe, thankfully, but three of a million of examples and reminders of the work and how important the work is that we do each and every day. So thank you, and I'll now bring up Dr. Ruth Etzel.